You're good, Corrin. But you're no Luke Skywalker. Corrin Horn's cheeks still burned at the memory of Commander Antilles' evaluation of his last simulator exercise. The line had been a simple comment, not meant to be cruel, nor delivered that way. But it cut deep into Corrin.
I've never tried to suggest I'm that good of a pilot.
He shook his head.
No. You just wanted it to be self-evident and easily recognized by everyone around you.
Reaching out, he flicked the starter switches for the X-Wing simulator's engines. Green One has 4 starts and is go. All around him in the cockpit, various switches, buttons, and monitors flashed to life. Primary and secondary power is at full. Oro Quirk, his Gand wingman, reported similar startup success in a high-pitched voice.
Green 2 is operational.
Green 3 and 4 checked in. Then the external screens came alive, projecting an empty starfield.
Whistler, have you finished the navigation calculations?
The green and white R2 unit seated behind Corrin hooted. Then the nav data spilled out over Corrin's main monitor. He punched a button, sending the same coordinates out to the other pilots in green flight.
Go to light speed and rendezvous on the Redemption.
As Corrin engaged the X-Wing's hyperdrive, the stars elongated themselves into white cylinders, then snapped back into pinpoints and began to revolve slowly, transforming themselves into a tunnel of white light. Corrin fought the urge to use the stick to compensate for the roll. In space, and especially hyperspace, up and down were relative. How his ship moved through hyperspace didn't really matter. As long as it remained on the course Whistler had calculated and had attained sufficient velocity before entering hyperspace, he'd arrive intact.
Flying into a black hole would actually make this run easier.
Every pilot dreaded the Redemption run. The scenario was based on an Imperial attack on evacuation ships back before the first Death Star had been destroyed. While the Redemption waited for 3 medevac shuttles and the corvette Korolev to dock and offload wounded, the Imperial frigate Warspite danced around the system and dumped out TIE fighters and added bombers to the mix to do as much damage as they could. The bombers, with a full load of missiles, could do a lot of damage. All the pilots called the Redemption scenario by another name. The Requiem scenario. The Warspite would only deploy 4 starfighters and a half dozen bombers, known in pilot slang as eyeballs and dupes, respectively. But it would do so in a pattern that made it all but impossible for the pilots to save the Korolev. The corvette was just one big target, and the TIE bombers had no trouble unloading all their missiles into it. Stellar pinpoints elongated again as the fighter came out of hyperspace. Off to the port side, Corrin saw the Redemption. Moments later, Whistler reported that the other fighters and all 3 medevac shuttles had arrived. The fighters checked in, and the first shuttle began its docking maneuver with the Redemption.
Green 1, this is Green 4.
Go ahead, 4.
By the book. Or are we doing something fancy?
Corrin hesitated before answering. By book, Nawara Venn had referred to the general wisdom about the scenario. It stated that one pilot should play Fleet Hunt and race out to engage the first TIE flight, while the other 3 fighters remained in close as backup. As long as 3 fighters stayed at home, it appeared the Warspite dropped ships off at a considerable distance from the Korolev. When they didn't, it got bolder, and the whole scenario became very bloody. The problem with going by the book was that it wasn't a very good strategy. It meant one pilot had to deal with 5 TIEs, 2 eyeballs and 3 dupes, all by himself, then turn around and engage 5 more. Even with them coming in waves, the chances of being able to succeed against those odds were slim. Doing it any other way was disastrous. Besides,
What loyal son of Corellia ever had any use for odds?